Welcome to our monthly sponsorship forum. We'll be meeting for approximately 45 minutes, up to 45 minutes. As you have heard, this meeting is being recorded. We'll offer a couple of topics for sharing. Anyone can ask a question, but only sponsors can share. Please be brief and to the point when you're asking a question. And shares will be timed up to 3 minutes. Cheryl will keep time. If you do get too far off topic, I will gently bring you back to the topic. And actually, I didn't start with the Serenity Prayer. Please join me. God, grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. So, first topic for discussion would be how a sponsor supports and helps a sponsee who is going to be traveling. With the convention coming up, many of us are headed that way, but summertime is a time of travel, and traveling does offer us an opportunity to think a little more deeply about being abstinent. Cheryl, are you interested in starting us off on that topic?
I can do that. Don't have as much experience as some others do that travel a lot more. But this is what I do when I travel. First of all, I like to take food on the plane. I don't rely on what they serve. It's usually not something I can have. So if I'm going for a longer flight, you know, if it's going to be a flight that's going to take 10 to 12 hours, I take two meals with me. And I have discussed it with my sponsor in the past that if I arrive in a place where the time zone is so different, where they're up to the afternoon, we land and when it's afternoon there and I've just had my breakfast, so we work it out with the sponsor. She might let you have a metabolic, a fruit or something in between to catch up. But most importantly, I need to take my food with. I do not rely on anything on a plane. Same thing would be with a car. There are basics that I can have, and I'm not going to mention foods because we can't do that here. But if you call me on an outreach, we can discuss it. And many people, the best way to do it is make those outreach calls and speak to people that have the experience. But it's the same as when I have an occasion here and I have to go out to eat and I'm not sure what's available. So I have my meal, and some of these things will last. I can put them in the trunk of the car, or I can keep it with me, and they'll last for a while. So I pick those items. But it's most important to remember that I am important. I am worth it. I'm worth it. Whatever extra work I need to do or what extra time or effort I need to put into it, that's most important. And when I get to where I am going, I need to make sure that they have what I need. If I'm traveling with a group and I need to go to ask the chef or the caterer what they have, that's fine. If not, the first thing I do is make sure that I get to a grocery and get what I need. Helps have more information. Or Susan, can you please add to that?
Sure, thanks. Hi, Susan, compulsive eater. The points that Cheryl hit on are things that I take into account. I will even anticipate with a plane flight the possibility that there will be a delay, so that even though the schedule has me, you know, just needing one meal while I'm traveling, it may be that I need the next meal also. So I will I will carry with me keeping in mind the possibility of plans going awry. And when traveling by plane, and that can be even, you know, with other kinds of travel as well, to over-anticipate. Traveling by plane, we have to get through the TSA check, and so we have to be mindful of the types of foods that we're bringing. I am a traveler who, whenever possible, and this is pretty much every time I travel, that I actually will pack up to 3 days of breakfast and lunch foods and bring that with me. And that does involve space in my suitcase, but it means that I know I'm going to get the food that I need, weighed and measured as I need it, and won't have to be scurrying off to a grocery store, which may be a difficult trip to make. And I will freeze food that I am taking with me so that it will defrost over time. And there are times where I'm eating somewhat frozen food, and, you know, it's not as palatable as when I'm preparing it fresh at home, but it gets me the nutrients I need. It's it's work up front prior to the leaving, but then it's a grab-and-go kind of thing while I'm traveling, and I find great peace in having my food taken care of. And I actually have three different travel plans coming up this summer, and I am going to try to practice not preparing so extensively of, you know, the three breakfasts and lunches once I'm there. And that's going to be a challenge for me, because the feeling of safety and control that the preparation gives me means that there's a lot of activity getting myself to my location, and I think there is some growth that I can experience doing it a different way. In talking to sponsees, we do talk about what your leave time is, what your arrival time is, looking at meal times. What had been offered to me is when you're traveling to other time zones, that you adjust to the time zone that you're headed to, and so we talk about the specifics of how to figure out how to readjust to the time zones and have the meals at appropriate times, and I will do some online work of seeing where grocery stores are, looking at restaurants. I do allow myself to eat out one meal a day when I'm traveling, and look for restaurants that have menus that can accommodate what I would need. And the sentiment of I'm worth it. My program, my abstinence comes first before everything else. No matter where I am, I take my program with me. I work my program even more diligently, if possible, you know, if that were possible when I'm traveling, because I'm out of my routine, and I need the support of my program. I need those outreach calls. I need to remember I am a compulsive eater, and taking care of myself so that I don't go back to the food is essential. And when I'm out of my comfort zone, the chances of something going amiss and turning back to my drug of choice increases. So again, thinking about a sponsee, we try to look at all the parts of what the travel plans are, and to the best of our ability, anticipate what might come to pass, and then to recognize that we can't anticipate everything, and learning how to go with the situation and do our honest best given a situation that is not completely under our control is the next line of defense to work our program. Okay, any other people that would like to, sponsors that would like to share on traveling while abstinent and in recovery in a sponsorship realm of thinking about it? Hearing none, are there any questions either on this topic or something else that one has in mind around sponsorship?
Hi, this is Frances. I'd like to share on, travel, food for travel.
Thanks, Frances. Yeah.
So I recently traveled, and it's like you said, you have to kind of plan for the unexpected. We had one layover. We were on a plane, and we had one layover that was, I think, like 30 minutes, and I assumed that I was going to be able to get my breakfast at the airport, but actually the layover only allowed us enough time to get from one plane to the other. So I'm so grateful that I did plan for the unexpected, where I said, even though it shows that we have a layover, I'm going to take my breakfast just for in case, and I think I took my lunch as well. But it saved me, because we didn't have time to have breakfast, and I think they served some kind of food that, of course, I couldn't have on the plane. So planning for the unexpected is so important. And the other thing is keeping it simple for when you're on the trip. I know that I knew we were going to be sightseeing and doing the touristy thing, and I didn't want to depend on whatever was available eating out. So I took cheese, and I know that not everybody can do this because some people are lactose intolerant or they're vegans or whatever, but I took cheese and I ate that for a lot of the meals because I wanted to be able to experience the touristy thing. And even though I was having cheese for a lot of meals, it was okay because I was there for the experience. I wasn't there for the food. So that's one thing that I do encourage my sponsees to do, is keep it super simple when you're traveling. And like you said, plan for the unexpected. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Frances. Anyone else like to share or ask a question?
Hi, this is Loretta from New Jersey.
Hi, Loretta.
Hi, I was wondering if anybody can say how they guide sponsors who, let's say, are taking long car trips as opposed to plane trips, if there's any differences that they might be able to offer.
I'll start with trying to answer this. To me, a car trip is so much easier than planes because you don't have to go through the security check, and you can pack a cooler, have ice or ice packs in there. You can take whatever food you want. You don't have to worry about the liquid limitations, and you, of course, you know, depending on how long the trip is, want to keep in mind of things that might spoil as the ice melts. But there's great freedom in being in a car and being able to pack up what I need. I will weigh out and measure my meals and mark them up. This is Tuesday's lunch, and this is Tuesday's dinner, and, you know, each item has its separate baggie or you know, whatever form of container, and it can be a grab and go thing as well. And then, you know, when you're in the car, you have more mobility to go and replenish with stops at a grocery store or other place that could have the foods that we eat. If your situation is such that you don't have cooking capacity as you travel, once you use up the food that you've prepared prior to leaving, then you know, you're going with the raw foods or the prepared foods that are you know, prepared very simply without lots of stuff like fats and other flavorings. And there are certain stores that I look to look for as I'm traveling that have those simplified foods, but they can be found in many places. Those are my thoughts to start off that question. Cheryl, do you have any additions?
No, I think you covered it very well.
Loretta, was that helpful for you?
Extremely, yes. Thank you so much.
Okay, great. any other shares or questions on the topic of travel? We did come up with another topic, if people are ready for us to move on, and that's the importance of the tool of daily writing. Cheryl, are you willing to start us off again?
Sure.
Thanks.
On the daily writing, I find that it's super important for me to know that I had that question prepared and ready when I turn over my food to my sponsor in the morning. For one thing, it causes me to reflect. Questions are pretty deep, and even when they're not, it makes me stop and think and concentrate. And there are times that I figured, okay, I'll write just like 5 or 10 minutes before I make the call, and the writing reflects that. You know, if I sit down the night before and I give myself that half hour or so, my writing is so much clearer, and I see things differently. So it's very important to do that writing, and what I suggest strongly that it not be done like 5 minutes before the call. Because the question is not, I used to have sponsors that would say, so Lou, I did your homework today. It's not my homework. It's not my program. It's your program. And so, yeah, I'll give you the question, but the work is up to you. And if you want to succeed in this program, you need to work the tools. That's what works for me, and I know that. And I know it was said many times in the past where it's not the food that goes first. It's the tools that go. When I let up on my tools and I decide for myself that I don't need to make those 3 calls a day or I don't need to do meetings or whatever it is that I feel I can get away with is only going to be detrimental to the recovery that I'm going to receive or that I am receiving. So it's of vital importance to do those 7 tools and to do the writing. And again, the writing is for the purpose of getting the sponsee more aware, you know, whether the question is about character defects, whether the question is what would you do if you didn't have CHOW, or, you know, I'm working with someone now that that needs to have the slip questions covered. So at first it's a problem because I know that that's the way it is, the way it was for me when I was told that, okay, we start day one again and we do the slip questions. And that sounded disastrous. I mean, that sounded terrible. You know, I was being punished. I was doing a different set of questions. I was being punished. I was not. Those questions are so good. Those questions are so strong. And what I do with sponsors is they had to do those slip questions for quite a bit in the past. I start with question number 100 and work our way down because generally those are questions they have not covered yet. Or if they have done that, I will ask them to just pick any questions that they like from the 100 questions. Pick a question and work on it. And so the writing is very, very important. Just as important as it is to give over the food. Food is most important. It's tool number one. But writing is very important, in my opinion, in my program, for me. For everyone, I guess, yeah.
Thanks, Cheryl. I'll start, I'm Susan, and I'll start by saying that I think about the tools and working my program on a daily basis in terms of food is my addictive substance, and I have to face that substance on a daily basis 3 times a day. And given that, I need my daily tools to help me remember who I am, a compulsive eater, and to help me work on strengthening my recovery on a daily basis. And the practice of putting pen to paper, and I do strongly recommend that of my sponsees rather than do it, you know, on a computer, a laptop, something like that, the kinesthetic process of reading a question, giving it thought, and then writing my answer, my response, with, you know, with a writing tool on a piece of paper, is all a piece of helping me stay on the beam of recovery. Thinking about whatever whatever the question asks of me. And, you know, some of the questions seem to get recycled, whether even though they're in different booklets or, you know, show up in different formats. I'm in a different place each time I'm answering a question because I'm in active recovery, and the layers get peeled away. And I have to say, so I'm approaching my 11-year anniversary of food recovery and abstinence, and that's a long time to be writing. And there's a part of me that many days recently I thought it felt more burdensome than it has in the past. And you know what? I just say, okay, I acknowledge that, and I do it anyway. Somebody's breathing, so maybe you can mute yourself. Well, everybody's breathing, but I can hear your breath. And so, you know, what I'm trying to say is when I finally committed to my recovery, I took a very black and white approach to both my abstinence and to my tools on a daily basis. And I continue to do that nearly 11 years in, that I honor these tools as the foundation for how my recovery works. Somebody is still not muted. Please be sure you're muted. And I do them every day. I do them when I'm traveling, going back to the first topic we brought up. I do them when I'm traveling. I do them when I'm tired. I do them when I don't want to. I do them because they are an essential part of why I am anticipating celebrating 11 years of abstinence and recovery. So that's me there with Cheryl, and wondering if there's anyone else that would like to share on the importance of daily writing.
I'd just like to add something. This is Cheryl. Writing the four-step inventory, that was tough. And there were some questions there that I just didn't want to answer. Either they were too embarrassing, or I would say it doesn't apply. And honestly, they did apply, but I refused to admit it. So it was tough to know that I need to have that answer in the morning. I need to write something, and I need to be pretty honest about it. And I had been worried about the inventory because I heard horror stories about it, people that had taken it before. But it's not. It is so revealing to myself, for example, what my character defects were, or what I was still thinking about, what was still in the back of my mind that I was upset with or that I was hurt by someone way back when. I had no idea that I was possibly eating over those feelings. When I met that person, I may still have had resentments and ate over it. So here I was able to clear all that out, you know, just recognizing what they were. And how do I make those changes when we continue on the steps? And how do I make amends to myself and amends to others and just research all that stuff? So I haven't finished. I've done it. I want to do it again. I'm in a different place, as I just mentioned. When I'm in a different place, I'll answer the questions differently. My recovery is stronger than it was when I first did it. And things change. Things look different. It's not all black. Negative in my life before. Today it's not. So doing those questions are amazing. And even if I come upon a question I've done before, I will probably answer it differently, very differently. So, yeah, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Cheryl. Anyone else like to speak on this topic or ask a question? Did anyone come to this meeting with a question in mind to ask on the topic of sponsorship or something that occurred to them while listening? It doesn't have to be on either of these two topics we brought up.
I'd like to add something again. This is Cheryl.
Yeah.
It's very important for me to have a good relationship with my sponsor in turning over questions, especially the four-step inventory. But in general, any question that I have to feel comfortable with the sponsor, the person I'm turning it over to, and which is generally a sponsor. The inventory can be turned over to different people. But so, you know, it's that feeling of whatever I say will stay there, making sure that anonymity is in place, and to know that I need to answer it wholeheartedly. I need to answer it any question, because it makes me feel good afterwards. After I've done that, and I read it to my sponsor, I feel relieved. I feel like, wow, I can change. I just need to concentrate on writing, but I can change who I am. And I have. Thanks for letting me share that. Does anyone have any suggestions on how to deal with sponsees or what to expect of a sponsor? Is there anyone sponsoring on this line?
Different sponsors do sponsor different ways, and after the basic guidelines of following the sponsor guidelines are met, there are variations in how a person sponsors. Some people, as a sponsor, keep they don't share about what's going on in their life. The time is for the sponsee. And other people, after some time of establishing ground rules, do share more freely about what's going on for them. And then there's, you know, variations in between. And then there are sponsees that say, well, why can't, beyond my sponsor call to you on a daily basis, why can't I call you as one of my outreach calls? And different sponsors have different responses about that. And then just respecting the sponsor's time and as a sponsor being available when your sponsee's call time is going to happen. So those were all issues that we spoke about or thought about and would like to offer as an issue. My phone is going out. Let me see if I can change phones. Hold on. Okay, I'm back, and Cheryl, did you want to expand on the topic you started to speak?
Yes, I can do that. I like to keep my relationship with my sponsor as a very respectful one. I respect her time and her oh boy, whatever.
That was me. That was me. I did something that, yeah, I stopped it.
Okay, so when I call my sponsor, I don't ask her about her day. I don't ask her what she's doing. I don't want to know anything about it because I don't think it's right for me to dig into her in her life. If she offers something, that's fine. And I work my program the same way as a sponsor. You know, I want to hear your question. I want to hear the answer to the question. I want to hear your food, if you have anything to discuss, if something's happening in your life that you're afraid that you'll pick up, or anything else that's going, that's fine. You know, you've got your 15 minutes. You can spend it any way you like, as long as I have the food in question up front. But don't ask me personal questions. It's just the way I sponsor. It's just the way who I am. I'm not comfortable telling you what's happening, what's going on in my life, or what's happening that time. You know that your 15 minutes is allotted to you. You're going to have that 15 minutes. I will pick up. I will be there. If some emergency comes up, you will know about it, or, you know, you can text me. But generally, I'm available, but I want to keep my life private. It's just the way that I feel. Again, there are others that don't feel that way. And after a while, if you've got a relationship with a sponsor for a longer amount of time, she might be opening up and she might want to discuss her life, and that's fine. But there are different ways to do it. For example, also, if a sponsee, even with four-step inventory, whether answering questions or with this four-step inventory, I've heard of sponsors that will, if you have any question that you come to with the four-step inventory, they will say, this is how I experienced it, this is what happened in my life when this question came up. I don't even like to do that. You know, give you the time. Let me hear what you have to say. Let me watch the growth as you discover these things and you delve into your own experience in life. Let me hear how you grow. But don't let me get involved with my own self. I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair to take up time from the sponsor to tell her what's going on with me. I will definitely talk about, if they have a question, I don't advise, I don't tell anybody what to do, but I will say, this is how I experience this, this is how I, this is what I do when I have this situation. I'm not telling anyone what to do, that's not my program. I've got enough work in my own program, I don't need to work my sponsor's program. Anyone else like to share, or Susan?
That's fine, thank you. Yeah, we'd love to hear from others or ask questions around the topic. Issues that sponsees may have come across that they'd like some thoughts and clarification on? I think, this is Susan, the most important thing for me just in this topic that we raised is the honoring of the time that has been set aside for the call, both the sponsor, me as the sponsor, being available when the sponsee is meant to call, and that the sponsee be calling on time and respecting the time that I've set aside for them. Yeah, that's a really important piece for me. I am a bit more loose about my privacy and talking about what's going on for me and sharing my experience on a given situation. That is something that I do when it feels appropriate, and recognizing that this is the sponsee's time and it is about their recovery, but I will reflect on my own experience as it seems to parallel what they're grappling with. Anyone else? We have one more back pocket topic if there aren't other thoughts or questions, which we would love to hear.
I'd like to make a comment.
Please.
Sure, I'm Leanne. I sponsor several people. There are times, and my sponsees know it, where they will or I will be involved with a call. And when they call at their designated time, they know that they will get a call back from me or that I will get a call back from them. Because sometimes a sponsee needs a little more time than the time given if they're going through some issues, and I don't feel it's right to cut them off. I don't know that everybody does that, and if I find that there's a time I can cut it shorter, I do, but when there's an issue going on, I feel I need to be there for my sponsee, and we will connect to the other people as we can. That's just my way of sponsoring, because that's life in between.
Thank you, Leanne.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Things come up, and we recognize that we will handle them as feels appropriate in the moment.
This is Cheryl. Can I say something again?
Please.
Okay, respecting a sponsor, I think that's vital. I think that it's just civil. It's just something that I understand. It's not something that my sponsor owes me. She doesn't owe me anything. Sometimes I get the impression when a sponsee calls that, or a new sponsee doesn't realize what's happening, is that I owe her the time, or, you know, she's doing me a favor. That she, you know, people don't know. They're new. They don't understand how this program works. But I have to remember for me that my sponsor is... It's a volunteer situation. She's not doing this because she's getting paid. And she's not doing this because she has to. It's volunteers, voluntary. And for me, it's also, I want to be there. I want to see the growth in my sponsors. I want to see when they get it, when they finally get it. It's not just a diet. And I want to be there for them. But again, I also want to know that the 50 minutes time that I set aside is honored. And not that I get the call, you know, 20 minutes later and I was busy, this came up, that came up. That's fine. If you couldn't talk, just text me your food. But don't expect me to hang around and wait, you know. Or I get the text during the day of newcomer where, can I call you now? You know, I have a life, and I have to remember that this program is life on life's terms, and I want to be there, and I want to help, but I also have to be able to live my life and not expect phone calls any time of the day or expect to call them back. So unless it's a vital situation or some emergency comes up, I understand that. But again, I know that I make sure that I'm available. I want to make sure that I'm there when my sponsor expects me to call. Even if I can't speak at that time, I'll just call and say, I can't speak right now. I will call you back later. And, you know, having a sponsor that understands that so well, having a sponsor that makes sure that I'm able to reach her all the time, it's amazing. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Other shares or questions? Rather than opening another topic, we'll save that for our next forum, on which will be August 12th, Sunday, August 12th, same time. I will ask one more time, anybody have other thoughts on the topics or questions? Hearing none, we're going to close with a serenity prayer, then Cheryl's going to stop the recording and we'll give out our phone number. So please join me, if you will, in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the thing I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. I will not mind be done.
I will be done.